This episode does contain some strong language, so just be aware of that. We've been making Pop Culture Happy Hour for almost 9 years, and in that time, we've covered a lot of ground.
In spite of how firm our opinions often seem when we first declare them, there have been times when they've changed.
So at our recent live show at the Brooklyn Podcast Festival, we took a moment to talk about some times when we've had second thoughts about things we thought we knew about ourselves and our opinions. You'll hear that conversation after a short break, so stick around.
This message comes from NPR's sponsor, Zoom Video Communications. Video conferencing has changed the way we do business. Meet happy anytime, anywhere with Zoom, connecting team members across the globe. Imagine seeing up to 49 people on the screen at once in digital video. Share anything, a file, a video, a photo, via desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free account today and meet happy with Zoom Video Communications. Zoom.us.
I have to get situated, which requires working around Glenn's arms.
Oh, heck. Oh. Stop. Stop it.
So as we were putting together this week's show, we figured out that we here at Pop Culture Happy Hour have been doing this show for almost 9 years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
9 years this summer.
We're going up on 9 years. And in that time, we've talked about a great lot of things. And occasionally, we have even changed our minds about things we've talked about in the past. So what we thought we would do is talk about a couple things that we have indeed changed our minds about. Stephen, why don't you start us off?
All right. Well, I decided to do a Glenn Weldon-style taxonomy. Because it's been a while since we've done a taxonomy on the show.
Biting my style. Go ahead. No, it's fine.
So this is a taxonomy of opinions that I have had to reconsider and sort of reasons why. Taxonomy of reconsidering wrongness.
Probably a little early for any of them to be Mary Poppins.
Nope.
Right?
We'll get to that. I was young. What are you going to do? Like when in 1991, as a fledgling music critic, I declared that Blood Sugar Sex Magic by the California funk rock band Red Hot Chili Peppers was the number two album of the year.
Uh-huh. Okay, we're going back.
I
did not get that memo.
Digging into the archives. there's The Artist was young. What are you going to do? Like when Radiohead came out and I thought they were just like another dumb 90s alt-rock band. And then they like became great. There is artists who seem great but then grow to become tiresome. Like when I thought that DJ Khaled was a breath of fresh air instead of a one-trick pony with like four dumb catchphrases and some very unfortunate opinions.
Yep.
There is artists who seem tiresome but then grow to become great, which we will get to later in this discussion. There's I love this and then learned it was problematic,
which is everything else.
Which is depressingly too numerous to mention, but we'll just leave it off with Roseanne.
Sure.
There's when you're just plain wrong, like when Glenn didn't like the movie Her. And Linda did like the movie Mary Poppins Returns.
Yep.
You have no whimsy. You have no whimsy. It's fine. I'm the only one with whimsy. It's fine.
Heart of ice.
Well, you know.
Heart of ice.
Heart of ice.
Look, we all love Lin-Manuel Miranda because that is the law. Uh-huh. And if we don't, we'll be taken away by his jackbooted thugs. They're charming, very tuneful jackbooted thugs. They're C-plus dancers, B-plus singers, but they are charming.
Oh, wow. I didn't necessarily expect people to get so angry during my...
No, I'm looking forward to the part of this where Glenn delves into his hatred of Sully the Hero Pilot. But go ahead, Stephen.
And finally, there is confusing... with understanding that something is not actually for me. Glenn and I experienced this with the movie Frozen.
Yep.
I experienced this by not appreciating Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again, the way that my colleague to my right did.
To be fair, you're not a homosexual or a woman or day drunk on blush wine. So you need two out of those three.
Or Or finally, the time that, to my eternal shame, I critiqued the TV show RuPaul's Drag Race.
Listen to that.
Yeah.
They have turned on you. Yeah. You're not going to get out of here alive.
No. Using literally the three dumbest words I have ever used when critiquing anything, and I quote, "It's too loud."
It's adorable.
Wow.
So there you have it, my taxonomy of wrongness, a tragedy in seven acts.
Woo, boy.
I didn't remember that you had had some of those opinions. So if any of you are looking for a seat on the show, we have applications out there.
I did not remember the RuPaul's Drag Race thing.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think you had, or there would have been a fight.
Yeah.
All right. Glenn, what did you come up with?
Doctor Strange, the film Doctor Strange. When we talked about the show back in November 2016, we had as our fourth chair the great and good Kat Chow. Give it up for Kat Chow. Woo! And she, as is her wont, came up with some very penetrating and insightful observations about her misgivings about the film, about its reliance on this kind of fake, lazy Orientalism with the exotic East, and specifically the casting of Tilda Swinton as a character called the Ancient One, which, see previous point, and I proceeded to, well, we have a clip.
To me, it felt like Tilda Swinton is, again, like Scarlett Johansson in Ghost in the Shell or Emma Stone in Aloha. Mm-hmm. Can't really get over that.
So the fact that they put a white actor in a role that, by all logic, should be played by an Asian person.
Right.
Yeah, but let's question that logic, okay? Because...
Yeah. I go on from there to talk about Somerset Maugham and E.M. Forster and the long history of white guys going to the Mideast to get... So if you're scoring at home, that is three things at once. That is mansplaining, white-splaining, and nerd-splaining. all of, like a turducken of suck is what that is. And, you know, I go on to say like something about how, well, you know, you got to think of it from their perspective. They had their hands tied. Yeah, side with the mega corporation. That's always a good look. They need your help. They need the benefit of the doubt. And also, you know, I know what I was doing, I think. A part of it was that she was coming for Tilda, and I'm a gay man, and we circle the wagons when you talk about Tilda. We want more Tilda everywhere. We want Tilda to have a cooking show. We want Tilda to have a daytime talk show. Think about that for a second. Wouldn't that be awesome? For a second. We want Tilda to be the wacky neighbor on Last Man Standing. We want Tilda everywhere. But of course, I mean, she's got a great... she's right. She's absolutely right. Because, I mean, it made me question not only the casting of Tilda, but the casting of Doctor Strange. I've been thinking a lot about superheroes for most of my life. That conversation made me question some very basic, unquestioned assumptions about these characters. Because if you reduce them to what superhero stories are, they're about the miracle... the unlikelihood of altruism in the world, of empathy, right? And what if we were instead telling the same stories we've been telling, this failure of imagination where we just translate the comics directly to the screen, what if we question everything and make altruism be the core of these characters, but we ask how that altruism, where it comes from? Because if it's a straight white dude, it comes from a place of patriarchal, like it's literally patronizing, little like, I will take care of you, I got this, I will restore order. If that altruism comes from a different place where it is formed in a culture that doesn't extend any empathy to you, you're not complicating them, I think you're deepening them. And it hasn't happened a lot, it's happened here or there, and I don't mean just, you know, just changing the pigment on the page or just casting a black actor. I mean rethinking these characters in a basic way. And I have lots more to say about this, including the visual iconography, but we're gonna be at Hollyards after this, so if you wanna just... have a drinker, Tracker 6, we'll talk about it. But basically, to sum up, Kat was right. Doctor Strange, f*** that movie.
Very thoughtful. Good job. Mine is not quite that involved. Mine is fairly straightforward, and I don't think it's going to shock anybody. But what I decided that I had changed my mind about was Andy Samberg. And the reason, here's why I chose Andy Samberg. Andy Samberg was, when he was on Saturday Night Live, part of a whole tradition of guys that I found very difficult to kind of hook into their comedic sensibility. It's not just the bro of it, but it's the bro of it combined with a certain, I don't really have to write anything, I just have to talk in funny voices and make noises and mug and be the kind of the biggest, broadest person in the scene. I was never a person who was nearly as impressed by him on SNL as other people were. It comes from the same place as my suspicion of Jimmy Fallon, my suspicion of especially Adam Sandler, who, aside from...
Just one person wanted to add a little something about Adam Sandler.
I totally get it. And look, like, I love the Hanukkah song, and he's definitely had his moments, but for me, I could never really hook into him either. And by the way, I will say, I am basically the only person in the world who liked that dumb movie he made with Jennifer Aniston, and I still don't know what happened that day when I saw it. But Andy Samberg, to me, was a really tough kind of comedic character for me to get into when he was on SNL. And I remember when I first saw him in Rashida Jones' movie, Celeste and Jesse Forever, which is about a couple sort of breaking up and trying to figure out if they're going to get back together. And it really, although it has comedic elements, it really is a largely dramatic performance in some ways. And it's a very heartfelt performance, and it really surprised me coming from him. And I think that film, there are definitely, like, Adam Sandler has done dramatic acting, and, you know, there are exceptions like this for all of these guys. But for me, that really showed me a kind of a really heartfelt side of him. And then, of course, he got cast in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which, if you do not watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, please go watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Come on, man. It is probably my favorite, most rewatchable show right now in terms of I can watch it an almost unlimited number of times and have. And he on that show started off in a very, they kind of brought him in as kind of a really arrogant hotshot. That was kind of the initial take on him, on that character, was that he in the police precinct was the best detective on the squad and kind of, you know, rebelled against authority and stuff like that. And as the first season went on, they sort of rejiggered that character to the point where he was a bit more of a, he was a pleaser. He just wanted to please everybody, especially his captain, Captain Holt, played by Andre Brower, who he adores and looks up to. And he, exactly, we all do. Good point. Good point, audience. And I think that for me, the progression of Andy Samberg from somebody who I just didn't really think had a lot of range, I thought it was kind of like, if you find that kind of mugging enjoyable, then that's for you. I think the warmth of his performance on Brooklyn Nine-Nine has really kind of caused me to rethink my feeling about him. And for that reason, I think I'm more open to other people with those kinds of really specific comedic sensibilities growing into different kinds of acting. And it's always funny to me because they made a movie where he played Adam Sandler's son. And I've always kind of felt like he could have just been Adam Sandler. And like he could have been like, oh, he's making Grown Ups 4 or whatever. And he kind of went this other like really cool way to me. And I've been really happy to see that. So I take back my original assessment of Andy Samberg.
All right. But has your rethink been colored by the fact, by the shallow observation that in the last 5 years, dude has hired a stylist? His hair is better.
So
he dresses better.
So I feel like, yeah, no. What I'm thinking out loud about is I'm thinking about whether I can tell you. I'm going to tell you. She'll forgive me. Do you know Kristen Sciarrico, who works at BuzzFeed? She's on Ladylike, and she's a wonderful, wonderful writer and really fantastic. I was giving her some advice about restarting Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She had started it at one point. She hadn't really been into it. And I kind of jumped her over the part. There's a part at the beginning where the Joe Latrullio character is kind of obsessed with the Stephanie Beatrice character, and it's kind of gross and uncomfortable. But they got away from it, and I kind of helped her sort of jump over that and get past it. And the next thing that she DM'd me was like, do I have a crush on Andy Samberg? And I was like, probably.
Looks good in the tux.
Well, and he's kind of grown into it, I think. He has a more confident, less needy comedic persona than he did. It's not quite as grasping as it was when he was young, when he was super young. So, yeah. I think the answer to your question is, yeah, he's a cutie pie. Yeah, he's a cutie pie. Yeah, you like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
You know, a little bit.
Yeah.
I've only watched each episode like 40 times. Yeah. I probably watched each episode of The Good Place like 50 times, so maybe that's the most rewatchable, but...
Yeah. Let us know what pop culture you've changed your mind about. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. If you want more from us, including links to what made us happy this week and recommendations for your weekend, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all right back here next time.
This week on Ask Me Another, we've got TV's favorite muscle man, Terry Crews from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and he chats about his multiple talents and how he stays humble in Hollywood. It's dropping in your feeds Friday, January 18th on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.